Well, glory, glory, glory. Welcome, welcome to Christian Growth Center, the Exploding Word and Worship Center in the New River Valley. I am Pastor Todd Hallinan, and I'm here to bring you the Word of God today. You know, in times like this when we are gathering online, thank God for an online community willing to take time out of their day to listen to the Word of God. But I believe in this unique time that the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to reach more people than it ever could within the four walls of these buildings. I'm telling you, it has forced the church into the digital age like never before. And I believe that more voices for the gospel are going out into the world. And, you know, it's so much easier for an unbeliever to watch their video screen than it is for them to come through the doors of a building, a church building, and sit and listen to a message. So I believe that the Holy Spirit is moving throughout the digital waves, and people are signing on and they're listening, and He is penetrating their hearts today to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So I say welcome. Thank you for joining us online. And we're going to get right to it today. I believe that the Holy Spirit has a word for you today. If you're tuning in wherever you are, the Spirit knows no time or distance. So as far as I'm concerned, you're sitting right here in this same room with me. So I'm just going to speak like you're here. Amen. We're celebrating Palm Sunday. How many know that today is Palm Sunday? How many know what Palm Sunday means or is? I can't get a raise of hands, so you can put it in the comments if you want. But, you know, here at Christian Growth Center, we say CGC, we are not about religion, okay? And let me clarify that. I want to take people from religion to relationship. What do I mean? Relationship with God, relationship with His Son, Jesus, and relationship with His Holy Spirit, whom dwells on the inside of you if you believe what Scripture says. So today I want to take you from religion to relationship. We're not celebrating a day. We are celebrating the life of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, and His anointing. And I do want to share out of Matthew chapter 21. And, you know, if you're reading from the King James, as I will be, you'll see the title there is The Triumphal Entry. And it really was triumphal, but you could almost say it was the start of His death march. But we'll talk about that later, because it leads to a glorious place, which we'll be celebrating next week, Resurrection Sunday. But let me read out of King James, Matthew chapter 21. And I'm just going to read verses 1 through 11 here. So if you have your Bibles there, follow along. If not, just listen to my voice. Verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and I'll tell you why. This account is in, I believe, all four Gospels. But I like Matthew's account, and I'll tell you why. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied. Ooh. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on Facebook, but I'm reading right out of Scripture here. So if they got a problem with Scripture, they can take it up with God. But where was I? Village over against you, straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. Oh boy. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put them their clothes, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees. And we know from John's gospel, these were palms. They call them palms. And that's why, hence, Palm Sunday. All right? You're making the connection there. And straw them in the way, put them down in front of him. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." So today, Palm Sunday, we are celebrating what the Bible calls his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And there's three real takeaways from this story today. And, maybe you could say four. One, it fulfilled prophecy. You know, Jesus said he didn't come to replace the law. He came to fulfill it, right? And it says right there that he was fulfilling prophecy. And we find that prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, I think it is, where it talks about where they were saying, "Daughter of Zion, behold, thy king." He was the king. Coming unto the meek and sitting upon an ass. And that's why I like Matthew's version. I'm sorry. It's the only version that uses the word ass. And, you know, I used to have an ass. I used to have an ass named Amos. And it was a donkey, okay? It was a donkey. I love that donkey. I won't go into why we had to get rid of it, right, Nikki? But he's still alive, doing well. In fact, Nikki and I talked about this. We were thinking about actually videoing this from the back of a donkey. I was going to be riding on a donkey, preaching the word of God. Amen. Maybe we'll have to think that through next time. But anyways, some takeaways from this story. One, it fulfilled prophecy. Two, he was riding in on a donkey. He was riding in on an ass. And in those days, you know, kings would lead the procession into a city or a kingdom of another king, and it meant peace. You know, when you're riding on the donkey, he was bringing peace. They were coming as a procession of peace into that kingdom. So that's why he rode on a donkey. And then the palm trees that they scattered in front of him and their clothes that they laid down, it means victory or goodness. You know, when Jesus came, he brought us victory and goodness. And then they were crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." That really means save, save us, save now, save us now. They were saying, "Save us now." They thought their king was coming to deliver them from the rule of the Roman Empire. And that's why they were celebrating him on this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And he is the king, right? He is the king, but they thought that he was going to deliver them in their natural realm of that day against the tyranny of the Roman Empire that was oppressing them. And so they were celebrating, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us now, save us now." But that was not his purpose. He had a bigger purpose, amen? His purpose was to save all of mankind, not one nation. No, but every nation, not just the Jewish nation, but all nations. This is why it's called the triumphal entry. And this is why we celebrate and call this Palm Sunday. And I'm so glad you're celebrating with us today. And I believe, like I said, the Holy Spirit is going to minister some things to you that are, I hope you see this day in a different light. It's not a religious holiday. It's about relationship. Relationship. You know, he came to save people. You know, Christian Growth Center. What do we say? You see, I'm dressed in a t-shirt today. It says CGC, Christian Growth Center. I don't know if you can see it on the back, but it says, "I love my church." Who is the church? We are. You and me. We are the church. Amen. Not this building. We are the church, and he came to save everyone of every nation, of every background, not just the Jewish as they thought that day. So let's jump into this. Last week I shared with you out of Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And I'll just read it again just to bring you back up to speed. But it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." And I want to talk about, you know, last week I talked about how I'm not ashamed of what the gospel says I can have. But today I want to talk about that word salvation, because that's what we're celebrating this Palm Sunday, you know, Jesus coming and riding into Jerusalem and them thinking that he was going to save them from the Roman Empire. But really, he was coming for a bigger purpose, to save all of mankind. But that word salvation means a whole lot more than just your eternal destiny. It does mean that, where you will spend eternity. But it means so much more. It means this. It means welfare. It means prosperity. It means deliverance. It means preservation. It means salvation. It means safety. Your welfare or well-being, your deliverance, your safety, it's all tied up in the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of it is tied up in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? What is the gospel of Christ? What is the gospel of Christ? I'm sure you hear that word all the time. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Well, it's the good news. That's simple. But here it is. This is the good news, people. Everything contained from cover to cover is the good news of Jesus Christ. Every chapter, every word, every verse in this book points to the Messiah, points to Jesus. Remember, he came not to replace the old covenant, but to fulfill it. Amen. Everything in this book, in this Bible, points to Messiah. That's what this book is. That's what the gospel is. And it's all contained right here. But you got to get in it. You got to get in it. Amen. Because it contains the power of God to deliver you from what? From whatever. Because it contains wisdom. Wisdom, you know, and Proverbs, I think it is, says wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's better than gold. It's better than gold. It's better than gold. You know, some things have more value than gold these days. And the Word is one of those. I want to share something with you. I don't know if y'all have heard this yet, but I don't know if you follow the stock market. Stock market's taking a big hit because of all the stuff going on, and but I want to give you an insider tip, okay? Insider tip. There is a new commodity that is going to be traded on the futures market. And I'm telling you, if you get in early, I don't know. I've got a sample of it right here. New commodity being traded on the futures market. If you can get in early, let me tell you what, you're going to make a fortune. Isn't it crazy? I'm telling you what, the world is going crazy, but you're not of the world. If you're a born-again believer, you're not of the world. You're in it, but you're not of it. You're of another kingdom. Amen? And this word salvation, this book, the words contained in this book, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, gives you the power to overcome the world. We're overcomers because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The gospel has the power to preserve you in whatever. Some of us need preserved in the situations that we are facing right now. It has the power to confer prosperity on you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. You know, I tell my kids all the time, man, don't go get a job because of the money. Find out what you love to do and do that, and the money will follow. Why? Because you're passionate about it. You enjoy doing it, and it's not like work. The money will follow. I'm telling you, God can get money into your hands if you'll seek His kingdom first. He's the one that gives us the power to gain wealth. Amen? This word contains the power to deliver you, to preserve you, confer prosperity on you. And then let's look at verse 17 again. It said, for therein. Wherein? For therein. There in the gospel of Christ is your right standing with God revealed. This book contains information, wisdom about your right standing with God. How is it revealed? Well, it says from faith to faith. From faith to faith. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean from faith to faith? It means to me it's a process. There's a process there. You get born again, like we say here, our vision is to sow, grow, and go. Sow faith in people's lives so that they can grow up in their understanding of their righteousness, their right standing with God, so that they can go and tell others. Simple. What does it mean, faith to faith? It's a process. Your faith is developed and it grows. The more time you spend in His book, the more time you reflect on its deep sayings, the more time you spend in prayer or fellowship with God, you are growing your faith. It's just like a marriage. Any of you out there married, you understand this if you've been married for any amount of time. You grow in that relationship with one another. You know, some people know their spouse many years before they get married. Some people know their spouse very little time before they get married. But all that time, you are growing and beginning to understand your mate so much better. I'm telling you, we're coming up on 24 years, and I feel like we are just now kind of really starting to understand one another. And we still got room to grow. I'm telling you, we still got plenty of room to grow. I'm talking about my wife, Nikki. We got plenty of room to grow, but man, it is a process. Marriage is a process and growing with one another. Some people grow quicker than others. Some people, it takes a longer time. I'm a little hard-headed. It's taken me a while to understand my wife. Not because of her, but because of me. Amen? But we're celebrating Palm Sunday. We're not talking. This isn't a marriage class. But it is like that. Growing faith to faith is like a marriage. You know, it takes time. It takes intentional effort. Listen, this ain't rocket science. The gospel is not rocket science. What you put in is what you're going to get out. What you put into it, just like a marriage, whatever you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. Whatever you put into this gospel, the time and attention that you give to the gospel of Jesus Christ is what you're going to get out of it. And that verse finished with, the just shall live by faith. The just, that any born-again believer justified by the blood of Jesus is a just that they're talking about. And we shall live by faith. Notice the command here. Shall live by faith. Not should or could, like it's a good idea. No. He commands us to live by faith. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, it is a must that you live by faith. Living by faith is not living by fear. Let me tell you, there is a difference, a big difference. Again, what you put in is what comes out, amen. That's why half the world is going crazy right now. They haven't been putting in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They haven't been diving into this word and searching the mysteries of God out. They haven't been putting it in. They haven't been putting the word in. They've been putting the world in. Let me put it to you this way. Let me give you an example. As a child, you know, I was always out in the woods playing or in briar patches picking blackberries, just outside. We were always outside. Well, I always, during that time of year, would come back with poison ivy on my body. Got into poison ivy all the time. I'm telling you, I think they thought I was half pink because I had so much calamine lotion all over my body during that time of year. Well, just this past week, I was clearing out some brush and cutting down some trees in our backyard. And yes, I got poison ivy. Now, the next day I noticed there was an itch on my leg. But, you know, even as a child, I had this innate ability not to scratch those itches from that poison ivy. So I noticed that. But some people can't do that. Some people, man, I'm telling you, if they get poison ivy on them, they are scratching the heck out of that stuff. And guess what? The next thing you know, I mean, you know, it's all up in their nose, and you know, it's they're scratching it on their leg, and they're rubbing their eyes. It's all over their face. I've even seen people have it, you know, in their mouth. It's gotten in their throat. Oh, terrible, terrible! In fact, Nikki, when she was a kid, she said she could look at poison ivy and it'd be all over her body. I mean, she's grown out of that some. But that's just how it was, right? Well, fear, let me tell you, fear is like that. What? Fear? How is that like poison ivy? The more you scratch that itch, the more it is going to spread. I'm telling you, you need to listen here. This is deep. This is profound. The more you scratch the itch of fear, the more it is going to spread. Oh, let me scratch that rumor someone started. Let me scratch that article someone posted. Let me scratch that news report. Let me scratch my itching ears with your fear. And pretty soon, it's all over you, man. And you are paralyzed by it. Because that is what fear does. It paralyzes you. When I was young, I used to have these dreams at night. And some bad person or bad thing would be chasing me, whether it was an animal, a beast, a monster, or a person. And I'd be trying to run away, and I'd be looking back, and man, it felt like my feet were in concrete blocks. You ever had a dream like that where, you know, you felt like you were running through quicksand, and you keep looking back, and it's getting closer, and you're not going, you don't feel like you're going anywhere? That's what fear does. It paralyzes you. It paralyzes you. And how does it all start? It's because you didn't guard two gates. Your eye gates and your ear gates. And then you let the flood come out of your mouth gate. You put it in, and now it's coming out of you. And you're running around asking everybody, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. Especially right now, I am being still, knowing that God is God. I am praising Him, worshiping Him, singing songs and hymns unto Him. I am diving into His Word. I am putting these things in. And I can tell you, Nikki and I aren't fearing anything right now. Nothing. That's what you should be doing, putting this Word in. So that when times like this happen, guess what? That is what is coming out. Don't be scratching all those other itches, putting all that stuff in you. Because when times like this happen, that is what is going to come out. Fear. Come on, somebody say it. Somebody say, I am the church.
You are the church. I love my church, the people that I have relationship with. I love them. But it is time, I'm telling you, church, it is time for us to rise up and stand in the authority that Jesus the Christ, when he entered into Jerusalem on the back of that ass, that donkey, he knew what his destiny was. And it is time for us to recognize that and to walk in that. He came and died to give us abundant life. And that's not just life in the hereafter. No, that is life now, here and now. And when we rise up and stand in our place of authority, the kind of authority, I'm telling you, that can transplant mountains. Transplant mountains. A mountain of debt. A mountain of sickness. A mountain of pain. A mountain of grief. A mountain of loss. And yes, even a mountain of fear. Some of y'all are dealing with a mountain of fear right now. And I'm telling you, you can be delivered from it. That word salvation. He died to give you salvation. How do we do that? If you have your Bible, I want you to turn here. Mark. And I want you to underline this. Highlight it. Write it in your notes. Bookmark it. If you have to, rip it out of your Bible and post it on your refrigerator. Ooh, hey, I've already said the word ass like 10 times, so it's okay. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. How do we do this? How do we be victorious over these mountains that I just named, these mountains in your life? Mark 11, verse 22. And Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly. Not just sometimes, not just every now and then, not when you feel like it or when you're going through something. You know, most people want to come and seek God when they're in times of trials. And I believe he can use those times, just like 9/11. You know, the churches, the buildings, the assemblies were filled, right? Filled with people because they didn't know where to turn. And now with this, you know, this new challenge going on in our country and over the world, really, I pray that people are seeking the face of God right now. And because it has forced the church or the assemblies, the gathering places, to go on digital media, I'm telling you, it's going to reach out into people, more people than ever before. They're going to be hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So how can you overcome these mountains in your life? Are you there? Mark 11, 22 says, and Jesus replied and said to them, have faith in God constantly. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, mountain of sickness, mountain of debt, mountain of pain, mountain of grief, mountain of loss, mountain of fear, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it shall be done for him. You got to speak to your mountain. Whatever mountain you're facing in your life right now, speak to it. Speak the word of God to it. This Bible, this word has the answer to any question, any problem, any mountain that you're facing. And it's your job, it's your duty as a born-again believer to seek it out in his word and to speak it out once you find it. Amen? Oh, glory to God. I'm reminded of, we give the enemy of our souls too much credit sometimes. And I just spoke to precious lady of God a few days ago. And she reminded me, or we were reminded of a vision that she had, or a dream, I should say. She had this dream. She was walking down this path. Miss Ruth, if I get this wrong, you can correct me. Walking down this path, and in front of the path was this mountain. It was blocking her way. This mountain was blocking her way. And she said she stood there, and I don't remember exactly if she said something or if this just happened. But all of a sudden, the mountain started to roll back like a scroll on both sides. And she could see inside the mountain. And inside the mountain, she saw this chair sitting in the middle of the mountain. And what she perceived as the devil sitting in that chair. And when he saw that she saw him instead of the mountain, he started to throw a temper tantrum like no 2-year-old or 3-year-old you've ever seen. Throwing and waving and wailing around in his arms and stomping his feet. And he was so upset because she had seen through the deception of that mountain and saw him for what he really was. He's nothing more than a big old baby throwing a temper tantrum. We give him too much credit. We already had the power over him. He's a defeated foe. And he only can challenge you with deceit, deception, and lies. And when we see through the lies of those mountains that he's putting in front of us, and we see him for who he really is, and we understand and see ourselves for who we really are in Christ Jesus. Not in ourselves, but in Christ. That we have the victory through Christ. That is when the victory comes. Listen, he has no real power. He's been stripped of his power. Jesus saw to it when he came and showed up on the scene. And when he was resurrected from the dead, we're going to talk about that next week, his resurrection from the dead. But when he did that, he left his power with us in the person of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. And it's that very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that lives inside of you and me. If you're born again, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've believed in your heart and confessed that with your mouth and you serve Him, then you're born again. And you have that very same Spirit dwelling on the inside of you that raised Him from the dead. Listen, I'll wrap it up with this. You have to trust God and seek His kingdom. And I assure you, if you will do those things, trust Him and seek His kingdom, then everything else will come into alignment. I'm not talking about astrology here. I'm talking about the peace of God. I'm talking about the peace of God that passes all understanding. How in a time like this can you be at rest? By the blood of Jesus and your relationship with Him. So next week we're going to talk about Resurrection Sunday, that powerful day when Christ was resurrected from the dead. And I ask you this, be prepared. Be prepared to take communion with me, okay? I'm going to do it right here. On the video, and I pray that you will prepare communion wherever you are in your house. Listen, you don't just get some crackers, get some bread, get some juice, get some wine if you want wine. And I'm going to share more about this. I'm going to explain this next week. It's about relationship, people. It's not about religion. It's not about religion. You can take communion, and I'm going to explain what communion is and why we celebrate communion, why we partake in communion, and I pray it's going to make sense to you, and it's going to be very significant in your life. It's not, listen, it's not some religious ceremony, okay? It is not some religious ceremony that only a priest can give you. No, it. I don't want to go into much detail because we're going to share a lot more next week. But so join us next Sunday at 10 a.m. We'll be celebrating Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of the Christ. We'll be taking communion together. Remember, the Spirit knows no time or distance. So we'll be receiving communion together, and I'll talk about that. But I want to encourage you today. Be of good cheer. Be strengthened in His might. And just like that Psalm 91 says, man, abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He'll gather you like a hen gathers the chicks under her wings. He'll protect you. And if you get into His Word, you can speak to those mountains in your life. And you can truly have revelation and believe, especially in times like we're in, when 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, say it with me, it will not come near me. Come on, say it again. It will not come near me. You can have that. Get a revelation of it. Let it drop down into your heart and mean something to you. Not just reading words on a page, but they're actually dropping into your heart as revelation. And you're standing on them. All right, well, keep standing in faith. Father, I just thank You for all those that have watched today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You are ministering to their hearts the Word coming from the Father to us, for now. Amen. And I thank You that lives are being changed and people are increasing in their faith. And they're studying Your Word and they're taking time to pray and fellowship with You. We've been given a lot of time. And we need to take this time and seek the face of God. Seek His face. Oh, and it's going to be a glorious day, yes, when we do truly see Him face to face. But we can do that now when we look into His Word. Amen. Amen. Will y'all be encouraged? Come join us. Please follow us on Facebook, Christian Growth Center. Share it with all your friends that need encouragement for these days. I believe it's an encouraging word. This word is always encouraging. And I believe it has the power to save their souls. Amen. If they know Jesus already, it has the power of that salvation to promote welfare and prosperity and wholeness and be delivered. They can be delivered and we're teaching them how to do that. Amen. So share it with everybody you can. Come join us next week, 10 a.m., same place, same time, with the same bat channel. All right? So come join us. I love you guys. I don't know even who you are. I love you because I have the love of Christ inside of me. And the love of Christ is reaching out to you. If you haven't made Him your Lord and Savior, I encourage you right now. Today is the day of your salvation. Take advantage of this day because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Tomorrow has enough worries for itself. We need to pay attention and be in the present today. Today is the day of your salvation. Receive Him. All you got to do is believe. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That He came to this earth, was crucified. He died. He was buried. But praise God, like we're going to learn about next week, He rose from that grave. And he is at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for you and me, praise God. And if you believe that in your heart, listen, that's what faith is. You got to believe it without seeing. If you believe it in your heart and you confess that with your mouth, yes, I believe. The Holy Spirit will come to reside in you, and I believe you'll experience the peace of God that I'm talking about against whatever mountain you're facing. Amen. I love y'all. Join us next week. Until then, we'll see you.